All right, so got a question for the congregation here. We're gonna have a little participation. Who in here wants to tell me what is God's glory? When you hear that question, what is God's glory?
Credit.
Anybody want to give an answer?
He gets the credit.
He gets the credit. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
His majesty.
His majesty.
Manifest presence,
like that. Any participation in the back of the classroom? Yes, I see that hand.
His holiness and righteousness and truth and love.
His whole nature. His whole nature. All right.
Sweetness.
Okay. Yeah. There. Okay. Great. Okay. And all great answers.
Answer.
Oh yes. Sorry about that. Yes.
The showing forth of who he is.
Okay. Now, as I was going through this message, trying to do a little research, trying to figure out how to put this together, I came across a podcast. Has anybody here ever heard John Piper by any chance? Great. I mean, great guy. There's some things I don't quite agree with him on, but again, great man of God. And he was talking about the subject. And the answer that he gave, and I really like this answer. He says, the glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. It is the way he puts his holiness on display for the people to apprehend, a way for us to understand it. And when I listened to that, I was like, wow, that's great. I'm going to use that. So I wish that was my own answer, but I'll give credit where credit is due. All right. And I want to give a great example of this. Comes from Second Chronicles 5:11-14. So if you want to flip there real quick. Okay. Now I'm just going to kind of sum up this passage a little bit. But basically the Ark of the Covenant is being brought into the temple. And then when you start getting right here towards the end of this passage, there's a celebration of glorifying and praising the Lord begins to erupt. And it says at the end of verse 13 that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Then in 14 it says, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Okay. So here we see the glory is manifested in the cloud. And if you look in scriptures, we sometimes see that it seems to take on the appearance of a bright light. We see it when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, when he had spent presence in the literal presence of God. I mean, there's Moses and there's God. So I mean, he was right next to him, could actually see him. When he comes down, what does it say? He had this glow about him that was so brilliant that they had to put a veil over it because they couldn't see it. And then when we look at the transfiguration of Jesus, what does it say? What does it say about his clothing? It says that in the transfiguration, his clothing was a dazzling white.
Amen.
And that word dazzling is something so bright that it's almost painful to look at. So again, few examples of where the glory manifests itself in a light. Now, however, of course, the glory of the Lord is a lot more than just bright light and clouds. Okay, so way more than that. Again, it's a manifestation of God's holiness. Okay, God's holiness is a characteristic that is all His. Okay, I mean, God is holy. Now, we're made holy because He is holy. Okay, so yes, He puts that His holiness on us. But holiness, that is all his. I mean, that's something that is just all his. Okay? Though it's really, of course, you know, it's very, I mean, of course, if you're going to try to sum up holiness, I mean, that was in glory, that's a very difficult thing to kind of sum up. I mean, holiness, I mean, what is it? It's his entire righteousness, his power, his majesty, pureness, his goodness. I mean, essentially, it's the entire being of God. That's holiness. That's his holiness. It's his entire essence. And so, I mean, again, the words can't really describe. I mean, words don't really do it justice. I mean, When we do go home, I think at that point we will fully understand. When we see him, we'll finally fully understand his holiness, because we will see all of it at once. So, exactly. I mean, and again, his glory is an aspect of that holiness that he shares with his creation. However, those who know Christ, again, are made holy because, again, he is holy. Okay? And you do see that, like, a separation between the glory and the holiness. Like, if you go into Isaiah, you don't need to put this up if you want, but in Isaiah 6:3, when it's talking about the throne of the Lord, what is it the seraphim?
Cherubim.
The cherubim, thank you. When they're circling around the throne, what is it that they're saying? Is the Lord God Almighty, his what fills the earth? His glory fills presence. They're saying, holy, 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 and then it switches over to his glory fills the earth. Okay? Exactly. The whole earth is filled with his glory. God shows us his glory in his creation and because of this, God also puts part of himself into his creation for us to not only enjoy, but so that we may glorify, praise, and know him more. And later on, we'll see that God took this to an even bigger extreme when he manifested himself in the form of Christ. So that glory manifested itself into Christ. And how his death allowed us to share in God's glory even more. Also, we see that out of all the different elements of creation, that the part of creation that is, I would say, God's masterpiece, his magnum opus, if you will, is God's creation of man and woman, who he set apart from everything else in creation. I wanted to make sure that everybody here hears that. Out of everything in the known universe that we have discovered, down to the tiniest particles that they have recently discovered. To some of the largest things that we have discovered out there in space, the greatest thing that God put in this earth was us, so that we may honor and glorify him and praise him. Okay?
Amen.
And all these things that is around, that all these things that we see around us, all these things that we're still discovering, all the things that we're still discovering, think of them as like Easter eggs. When they find something new, think about the excitement that it causes. I mean, that was here put for who? For us. He didn't put it here for anything else. That was us. All these great things are here for us to enjoy, because that is how much he loves us. He's like, I'm going to put all this stuff, this entire universe that's 93 billion light years across, is all for you. All for you. That's a big gift. So I hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're enjoying it. So one way to look at this, one way to look at this, as I said, God, again, his glory, again, it's a manifestation of his holiness for us to kind of apprehend. Again, as I said, he puts part of himself in his creation. And I think one way to imagine this would be to think of God as a great artist, which he is.
Yes, he is.
Everything that's designed in this world, in this universe, he is. And just like any artist, whether it be visual, performing, the creator of this whatever artistic composition will inevitably put certain aspects of their persona into the piece. Okay, and to help illustrate this point, I want to show everyone two images. Janine, would you be so kind to flip the lights for me real quick? Just so that these show up a lot better. So these will show up a little bit better. All right. You might want to tell me what you're looking at right now. Anybody know what that is? Sistine Chapel. Yeah, the Sistine Chapel ceiling. Okay. Yes. Commissioned by Pope Julius II, and the commission was given to one of the funniest of the Ninja Turtles, Michelangelo. Sorry, if you talk about Renaissance artists, I mean, if you don't make a Ninja Turtle joke, then you're not doing your job right, okay? Well, Yes, Raphael. Now, Raphael, yeah, he did contribute. There were tapestries that Raphael helped create. There were some other Renaissance artists that that also contributed to a lot of the different walls in there. But I believe the ceiling is probably the most well-known of the artistic works of the Sistine Chapel. It's something that everybody recognizes. Can you go ahead and bring up the second image, please? Does anybody know the title of this particular panel on the ceiling? Anybody know what this is? Just out of curiosity. Not the thinker. Jan knows, but she got the cheat sheet. Okay. All right. This. No, it's not Joshua. No. This is actually the prophet Jeremiah. Ronnie, you're our resident Old Testament expert. Would you be so kind to give us a very brief little summary of who Jeremiah was? If you would be so kind.
Could give you a better one. He was one of the prophets that was in Babylon when was carried off into Babylon. And, you need somebody else to give this. I'm not really an expert on Jeremiah.
Okay.
You go ahead and say what you're trying to get to.
Okay. But yeah, he is right. He was one of the... Jeremiah is, of course, he's a lot of times commonly referred to as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was given the very daunting task of having to go out and tell Israel that the Lord is going to be judging you. You need to repent. He's also prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. So when you look at this picture, you can see the sorrow on his face. He's got his hand over his mouth, and this is a man who is just in anguish because he knows exactly what's coming, and he's telling the people of Israel, you've got to stop, repent, turn back before it's too late. And if you read, unfortunately, they didn't. And they won the case.
Is he the one that was killed between the porch and the altar?
No, that was
Zephaniah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
he wrote a book called Lamentations.
Yes.
Lamentations, yeah. A whole book just on sorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Wrote the book of Lamentations about sorrow.
On his side.
Yeah.
For 360 days and then.
But. But the thing about Jeremiah, even though this was a great task, and I'm sure it was probably a bit of a burden what he had to do, but he faithfully completed what the Lord set out for him to do.
He stayed
and did it all the way until he was executed. He stuck with it. Now the reason I'm showing this particular panel of Jeremiah is I want you to take a great look at it. I want you to take a really good look at his face. The face that you see on there is actually a self-portrait of Michelangelo. Michelangelo used his own portrait for the face of Jeremiah. This is actually he does it one other time in the chapel on the altar wall. But we're going to skip that. We'll skip that. We can talk about that at a later time if you want. But for this particular one, Michelangelo. Really kind of, because of that great task and that burden that was put on Jeremiah, Michelangelo kind of related to him a little bit because that ceiling was a very daunting task. The Pope himself commissioned him, and you cannot say no to the Pope, especially that day and age. You don't say no. You do it. But
he would have rather sculpted.
He was primary sculptor, but the fact that he was actually to show the world that he was also a great painter was quite an accomplishment. But Michelangelo, he suffered through it for 4 years from 1508 to about 1512 and completed the task. And then later on, he would go on to do the altar wall 25 years later, which again still was another daunting task. But another thing that scholars will say is that the reason Michelangelo used his face right here is because there's also Michelangelo was like lamenting over his own sins and his own sorrow. So again, another way he related to Jeremiah. But the point I'm trying to make is here's an example of the artist putting part of himself into his creation. Thank you for zooming in on that. Okay? And again, the Lord does the exact same thing. He puts some part of himself into his creation. And the first time, and one of the first places that we will see this, it's in a very familiar passage. I'm sure some of you probably almost know it by heart. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So, get that up. All right. Then the Lord said, "Let us make man in our image, our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. I love how it just keeps repeating. Create man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created him. To fully emphasize that you are in my image. I created you. If you didn't hear me the first time, let me say it two more times to make sure you understand. You are made in my image and likeness. Okay? Didn't do that for anything else. You only did it for us. So I hope everyone is trying. So I really hope everybody is really tracking with that. Because I think we can forget that very easily. Even if you're saved, you're human. You get bogged down with the things that go on in this world. Sometimes you forget. And sometimes you just have to remember what your value really is. Okay? Unfortunately, and we're going to get to this, and we'll get to this a little bit later, there are some who never realize what their full value is until it's too late.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So. But yeah. But we're made in his image and his likeness. So in a way, we are like God. We are not God. Make sure, okay? We are not God, but we contain attributes that are like his. Okay? So, and there's, at some point, there's a whole other message that I could go, that I really would love to go into about being the likeness of God, as far as like how you respond to situations, whether it be responding to an injustice, a sorrow, that a lot of times some people would feel, and here's, again, this brings that point, here brings back to that point with my dream. A lot of religious doctrine said, you know, smile, you'll be okay, don't be angry, it's all right, you shouldn't be angry. Just remember, the joy of the Lord is with you, so there's no reason to be upset. Yes, there is. There's a lot of things that can get you upset and angry, and sometimes when you respond that way, you're not sinning, you're actually agreeing with God. An injustice, if you see an injustice that really stirs you up, okay?
Yeah.
Why is that going on? How could this happen? I'm just seeing that just makes me so angry. Great. I'm glad it does, because guess what? God's up there going, guess what? I'm angry too.
Yeah.
We're in agreement. Hooray for you.
Yeah.
Now, how you choose to react to that later on, can get you in trouble if you're not careful, but that first initial feeling that bubbles up in you, you're not necessarily in a sin. You're just in an agreement, and it's something.
Right on.
Okay, you got what I'm saying right there.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, like I said, we can go into more about that, but we're just going to keep moving on here. So, like I said, I'd love to come back to that at a later date, and really emphasize that. All right, so. If everybody go ahead and turn into Colossians 1, 15, chapter 1, 15 through 22. I'm going to read this real quick. Okay. All right. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. So I just really like that part right there.
Yeah,
I really do. So, and he is the head. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Okay. Let's flip over to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6, real quick. And after I've gone through the passage, I want you to hold your place here, because I'm going to be coming back to it a little bit later on. All right, starting down here in verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay. So let me go back real quick to what we said before in Genesis. Who we made in the image and likeness of again? Thank you. Right there at the end of verse 6. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the what? Okay. In both passages, Christ is described as the image of God. You and I are made in the image of God, which means we are made in the image of Christ. Not only that, but those who give themselves those who give themselves over to Christ, who believe in him, his death, his resurrection, God sees you as holy and blameless. Folks, this is why you have so much value. Okay? This is why your life is so precious, because you bear the image of God's Son. Even the unsaved, okay, let me say that again. Even the unsaved still bear the image of God's Son. Okay? Those who don't know Christ need to understand their value.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
They really need to understand that. God is a father who loves his children, because just like a dad, just like any dad, and I can't wait for this for myself. Okay? It's going to be good. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But just like any dad, he sees a part of himself in his children. His children glorify him, and their father is their glory. Okay? I mean, I'm sure when Ronnie looks at his kids, when John looks at his kids, John, Megan, you look at your kids. Steve, when you look at your children, Kenny, when you look at your kids, I'm sure when you look into their faces, you see part of you in them. They bear your image. Okay? Even if it's just the nose or just the ears or whatever, they still bear your image. Okay? They still bear it. Even when they become old and frail, they're still going to bear your image. Okay? Proverbs 17:6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their what? Fathers. The glory of the children is their fathers. Okay? The Lord's our Heavenly Father. That's where our glory comes. That's where our glory comes from. It comes from Him. You can take this a little bit further. We can take this a little bit further in discussing marriage. And just in Corinthians, it describes the wife as the glory of the husband. Okay? So if you want to see a manifestation of my glory, all you have to do is look at Liz. If you want to see a manifestation of John's glory, look at Marianne. And Ronnie, Jenny, Kenny, Elizabeth, and so forth. Now we all get our glory from God, but since that is a manifestation, of course, you know, God was very wise when He made the wife to be the representation of the husband's glory because, you know, they're the prettier ones in the relationship. So, makes perfect sense. Very smart. And still taking us a little bit more, since marriage is a representation of Christ and His church, and we are His church or His bride, we bring Him glory. Okay? So the wife is the glory of the husband. We're the bride of Christ. The church is His glory. That's a manifestation right there of the glory of Christ, His church, and all the members in it.
Amen.
Okay? Which is why it is so important that as His church, we are all functioning as the body. All right? And I really liked, I'm just going to throw this in here, what Steve Carell was talking about at Gretna, where God doesn't want you to be somebody else in the church. Okay? Megan, he doesn't want you to be Edgar. Edgar, you're not to be Barb. Lydia, you're not supposed to be somebody else in church. God just wants you to function as you. Okay? And he went through the illustration of using actual body parts. Like some people, I mean, he's used the illustration of the pinky. It's like there are some people who may feel like they're pinky. I mean, there's really not much to you until you're hurt, and then you notice it very quickly when your pinky's hurt. So you realize the importance of it when something's going on with it. Okay, so yes, we're all unique, and God has individual things He wants you to do, but just like your parts. All have a different function, but all those functions function together so that the whole body is working. And one of them goes out of whack, body suffers. Okay?
Amen.
Okay? And now, also, when the Holy Spirit falls on this place and the glory of God is filling the room,
yes.
It's important, very important, that we stay in the flow. And not miss it. Because sometimes it's easy to fall into the trap because you may want to try to let your own glory shine in some way, shape, or form. Or something's going on with you, you are just not seeing it. And I'll just make a confession. There have been a lot of times while I was so thankful to go to Gretna Friday, there's been times, and I've seen it. I'll be sitting back there in that chair, and Jan can testify to this one because she's had to talk me down a few times. The Spirit of the Lord is flowing through this room, but I'm back there, and there have been a lot of times I'm just sitting there and I'm missing out on it. Okay, why? Just because I let things get to me. Whether it be stuff with school, or just some kind of irritation or frustration, I've missed out on it.
I'm sure it's happened to everybody here a few times.
But what I'm trying, yeah, and it's important that again, those burdens bring them to the Lord, so that when His glory fills the room and His presence is known, you don't miss out on it.
Amen.
Okay? Don't miss out on it. Good stuff happens when that when he's here. When that Holy Spirit just says, "Hey guys, I'm gonna come in, say hello, take over for I'm gonna hijack the sermon and the worship and just kinda let you have a little fun."
Yeah.
When it happens, let it happen and flow with it. Okay? And also, and speaking with that flow, don't try to let your glory outshine God's. All right? That can happen for whatever reason. You get that wild hair up your backside, and you get that. Either it's you may want to try to outshine God. If a temptation like that ever hits you, suppress it. Okay? Now, if it's something that the Lord really needs you to, I mean, if it's something that the Lord really wants you to share, okay, do it. Okay? Because what you may need to share will help the flow even more. Do it. Exactly. But if this is just something that you feel that you need to do, again, ease back. All right. Keep the flow going.
Amen.
All right. Because again, when that glory is in the room, again, we just want it. I mean, just let it go. Just let it continue. Because again, that's another manifestation of God's glory. I mean, and those of you who've been in this church for a while, you've all experienced it. When you feel, like, especially if you feel that heaviness, that weight of the Lord on you, that again, a manifestation of His holiness on you at that point, that heavy and that feeling of just peace and just you just want to give it all to Him. Okay, that's the glory of God in the room on you. Okay.
You're absolutely right.
It is that feeling of heaviness, and it's not a heaviness that is supposed to feel like, you know, it's not supposed to be like a burden that you dread. I guess the best illustration to give for that, think of it as a really heavy blanket that you wrap up in that weighs down on you. That gives you comfort. Okay. Now there have been times where I've been in a service where, you know, I've prayed and I'd be wanting to get back up, and all of a sudden I can't, and I feel like it's like, all right, I'll stay down. Okay, I'm good. All right, I'll stay here. When you say it's okay, okay. It happens. Okay, it happens. All right.
Revelation.
It's a revelation. Mm-hmm. Right. And again, and that is why I love this place. That is why I love being in churches where when that happens, it's wonderful. It's not suppressed. You just go with it. I mean, if you try to go against it, you might as well go ahead and just walk out the door. All right? It's just awesome. And it wasn't until I started coming here until I actually got to experience it for myself. And that is why you got places like Lydia's over there clapping. She wants to take it. Well, again, thank you, Lydia, for bringing me here. All those years ago, thank you. I'm going to give Lydia a little gore and a little praise for her. It's like,
right.
Lift her up.
Right.
And now her face is red and embarrassed. All right, there we go. Okay, I did my job. All right. All right. Go. Sorry, let me get back on track. All right, so, like I said, going back into 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in those passages, one of the things I do want to talk about is that in our culture, we are seeing people who are trying to glorify themselves
a lot.
That's right.
Maybe not so much in church, but just in the culture in general. If you go back, let me find it real quickly. Ah, here we go. Right here in, starting in verse 3, I'm going to read that again. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, the God of this world, I'm sure when you hear that, there's probably, I'm actually kind of curious. When you hear that passage, what comes to your mind right away when you said the God of this world, huh? Okay. I can definitely go along with that.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's his principle.
Okay.
Without God.
Yeah.
Disobedience.
Yeah. That particular idol, when I was doing this, the thing that came to my mind, and Stephen, I think you and I kind of maybe tracking pretty well right now with each other, they glorify themselves to the idol of me.
Yeah, that's right.
The idol of me. If you were to build this idol, it would probably be a pure white marble pillar encrusted with jewels. On top of it, I see a frame made of pure onyx with the purest of glass. And all you have to do, if you worship this idol, all you have to do is just walk up to it and just stare into the mirror and look at you, and see your God. There's the idol of me. That's your idol of me right there. Selfies, yes. Yes, and the God of me sent out its servant Selfie out into the world, so the duck faces may prevail. Okay. Gosh. But yeah, I would have to say that's the idol of this world is me, is the God of. Me, and I know I heard somebody say Satan, and that goes right along with it because what was Satan or what was Lucifer's ultimate downfall? What brought him down? His what? His ego, his pride. He wanted to worship me, not you, God. It's me. Okay, so. The God of this world, the idol of me, same thing. It's the same thing.
Yep.
Same thing with Satan. Same thing with him. Me, pride, ego. It's all about me. My life has got more importance than anything else in this world. Or sometimes, it can be kind of taking in a whole other direction. My life has gone nowhere.
Yeah.
I have nothing. Yeah. I have no value.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're still thinking about. You're just still thinking about me. That victim mentality. And again, everybody in here, including myself, there have been times where we've fallen into that a little bit. Things aren't going your way. It does. It happens. Why is this happening? Why? It's like, what am I doing here? What's going on? I can't.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, it can happen to the best of us. But the problem is some people stay in that mindset and they don't get out of it. And unfortunately, as we saw here recently, when you lose what your value is in this life, what makes you valuable and why other people around you have value, you begin to devalue those around you, especially if you really hold yourself in such high esteem, and you could care less what other people think or who they are. You're going to start seeing more of what we saw here recently. And I don't,
yes.
You know, with the
I'm
just going to bring it up the school shooting,
yes.
And down in Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, complete disregard for life, complete disregard of what of everybody he shot. Exactly. Exactly. And the Creator, again, the Creator's image is in everybody's face. The Creator set you apart from this entire creation. You bear His image. Even again, if you are even if you're unsaved, you still bear the image of God on your face. And I truly believe, I mean, a lot of things that we're seeing, you get all, I mean, this destruction, this chaos, the way this culture is focused, a lot, you got a lot of people who are focused just on themselves. They don't understand what their value is and what the value of other people are. Okay? And if you, and going back to the dream I had, I mean, this is where a dangerous religious teaching can come, can really actually help perpetuate that. Think about it. You messed up. You messed up. You don't see, instead of emphasizing, you've got value. You're an image bearer of the Lord. Okay. If all you focus on is mistakes and what you did. Okay. I mean, again, even those who are saved. Is anybody here who's been, after you got saved, did you completely and utterly stop sinning? Show of hands. If you have, you just committed the sin of lying. So you have to put that hand right back down. But when you tell somebody that, hey, you're saved, you shouldn't be doing that particular, whatever activity it is that is your ultimate temptation, your weakness, you can't be doing it anymore. And if you do it, if you fall into that, and let's say you fall into that trap, okay? It happens. But somebody says, hey, I guess you're not saved. You're going to rededicate yourself, please. You're not quite there yet. You're not quite good enough yet. Well, folks, if you have to wait until you're good enough to accept the Lord, it's never going to happen. Christ is going to take you, He takes you as you are. And again, I'm going to say this again. Another reason why I loved coming here. I'm not saying that our church does it all perfect. Okay? I'm not saying that. All right. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, if there's one thing that we have right, there's one thing that the Move has right, and even with the trash ministry, is there's one thing they have right. Okay? That's okay. You're just complete and just desperate. You have hit rock bottom. In fact, you tried to jackhammer through the rock to try to get down even lower. Christ will take you. Okay? He will take you. You don't need to try to make an improvement. Just go, come right now. And if you've saved and you fall, and again, if you fall on your face, guess what? You're saved now. You've got, when he looks at you, he's not looking at what you just did or your past. He's looking at what he sees, like, hey, it's my son. There's my son. Okay? Remember, when you take on Christ, you have now taken on His glory and His holiness. He has put that on you. That is what Christ is. That is what God is seeing. Okay? There were some things that I had to stop, and then certain mindsets that I had to stop, that I had to redo, but God still loved me. I mean, there's a big difference between God, the Holy Spirit, giving you a little bit of conviction, going, hey, okay, you messed up, but guess what? Let's go ahead, move forward. We're going to work on this. As opposed to, you messed up, you're done. You've got to start all over again. So as soon as you are done rededicating, just go ahead and make a high dive into baptism back there, and we'll try this all over again. Okay? Because apparently it didn't work. Apparently it didn't stick the first time.
Hey,
moving on. Go ahead.
Grant told a story, and this is so true.
Do you want the mic?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Grant told a story last night. This way, it's really great to hear this. But he was talking about this pastor that was talking about this great revival they had at their church. And he said, how many people got saved last night? 30 people got saved. And they all got baptized. And then the next night, 30 people, 40 people got saved. And then the next night, 45 people got saved. Well, guess what? There was only 30 people attending the church that week, every night. Same people just got saved every night. And that's the mentality. Like, if you do something wrong, just get saved.
Well,
That's great.
That's what you're saying, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Again, when you're a child of God, you've got the glory of God in you. Okay? You've got it. You've got His holiness. When He sees you, He's put His holiness on you. Okay, you fell on your face. You still got the glory and holiness of God on you, okay? Just get up and move forward, okay? Move forward, all right? You'll get there. You'll get there, all right? And again, and the Holy Spirit's not there doing this to your head, all right? That's what the religious pastor does. Knocking on your head, okay? That's what he's doing.
All right.
Okay. But going back to this about our value. Again, I'm going to just flip over here into Romans 1, 18 through 32 real quick. And this particular passage, I'm just going to go ahead and just start down here in verse 22 through 23. And just says, claim to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. And if you go through and if you read the rest of it, because everybody wanted to worship creation, in this case, the idol of me, and not the creator, giving him the glory and praise. And they continued this. If you go further down, you see what happens. This is the choice they were making. And God said, okay, if this is what you want, you can have it. And it talks about what he gives them over to. This is exactly something that we're seeing. Where people are struggling with their identity. Who am I? Is this the way I'm supposed to? Is this exactly the way I'm supposed to be born? Am I supposed to be with this girl, or am I supposed to be with this guy? People bouncing back and forth, and it's just become so commonplace. And especially, and then everybody's just struggling to find an identity in this world, and there's just all this confusion and just all of this lies that basically just completely distort and pervert the truth. Simple, basic truth that everybody knew since they were a tiny kid is always being brought into question. Okay? But again, the big truth is, you are an image bearer of God. You bring Him glory, and you bring Him praise. It's important that we don't forget that we are a manifestation of God's glory. Okay? It is important we let those who don't know who they are or forgot who they were, that they are the product of God's glory. And this is, again, that happened with me. At one point, I really lost track of who I was in a very bad way. My life was going in a direction I probably never thought it would go in. I forgot who I was. Okay? But the Lord brought me back. He said, no, here you are. You're my child. You bear my image. This is who you really are. This, we're going to put that away. It's not it. This is it.
Amen.
All right.
This is it.
This is it. Okay. That's all I have. Okay. I thought I was going to have a little bit more to go, but you know what? I think I'm going to stop it right there. Thank you.
Can you just pray with us?
Sure.
And just help us to, you know, kind of make that decision to receive God, you know, to confess His image in us, you know, that we're His glory, and, you know, confess Christ, and, you know, to confess who we are.
Absolutely.
Not to fall for that trap of, you know, like what you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lead us in that.
All right. All right. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this word. I give you, Father, I just want to glorify you in allowing me to come up here and share this. Thank you. Father, we just want to confess who we are right now, that we are the image bearers of the Lord. We bear your Son's image. Our value, our worth is in you. And Father, we just pray that if there's ever a time we doubt that Father, please cover us with your presence, cover us with your glory, and remind us who we are. And Lord, as we go, and anybody we encounter who does not know you, or anybody who doesn't know that about themselves, that we may be able to share it, that they too will come to realization that I am an image bearer of God. I am a manifestation of God's glory. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I just pray that as this body, as part of this body, as together, that we continue to glorify you, give you the honor and the praise. Whenever your glory fills this place, Lord, we just pray that you open our eyes, are open that we see it, we feel it, and we partake in it.